Support for NPR comes from the Pajamagram Company, offering hoodie footy pajamas in gift packaging delivered overnight and for Valentine's Day at pajamagram.com.
88.9 WCVE. This is Monday morning, and that means Brian Ford joins us for his weekly analysis of the business and financial news. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Wayne. How are you this morning?
Just fine. Well, there was a disappointing jobs report for January. The first 5 weeks or so of the year have kind of been up and down on the stock markets, but bonds were especially good in January, right?
They were, in fact. It was a very interesting week overall in the financial markets. You're right that there was kind of very bad stock performance early on in the week, then a very strong finish, leaving the market slightly up for the week, but still down about 2 or 3% for the year. You know, as you and I have discussed, Wayne, this is another indication that the relatively placid markets of 2013, which saw basically strong growth with little interruption, are going to be much more choppy this year. So you got to be careful out there. As you mentioned, the data was not so great. The ISM manufacturing report here in the U.S. was down much more than forecast, especially in the area of new orders. The good news is the comparable ISM type of reports in the U.K., in the Eurozone, and China held in there, so there was not big confirmation. Then, as you mentioned on Friday, the jobs number was terrible, which I will discuss at length shortly. Mm-hmm. Crazily enough, the U.S. government bonds, which had a bad 2013 and many investors had sworn off with the proverbial 10-foot pole, had their best move in many years. Retail investors had just started buying bonds big time last week, which may be a reason to reconsider the mix of assets. But this week, we'll be watching more corporate earnings, retail sales results, and we'll get a reading on consumer sentiment this week.
Okay. Now, I understand that the credit rating for the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico was downgraded. Is that an important event for the nation as a whole?
Well, I think it's something worth watching, Wayne. This is something that may have missed a lot of people's attention. Puerto Rico's credit rating was taken down another notch to below investment grade, or what some people call junk status. And to many observers, this is not a surprise, since the region has been in recession for several years. Here are some kind of disturbing facts about the Puerto Rican economy. Unemployment's 15%, that's 1-5. Population is leaving the island at about 50,000 people per year, and they have about $70 billion in debt. Okay, so why should you care? Because you may own Puerto Rican bonds and not even know it. They are very popular holding in many tax-free mutual funds here in the U.S. Because of its U.S. protectorate status, Puerto Rican bonds are not taxed at the local, state, or federal level here in the U.S. So many investment managers in the U.S. have loaded up on Puerto Rican bonds, which have been paying nearly 10% tax-free. In this low interest rate environment, that's been too good to pass up. So what's the main issue in Puerto Rico? Well, it's the same old stuff, really. Underfunded pensions, deficit spending, slow growth. Any of that sound familiar, Wayne?
Yeah.
What is Puerto Rico doing about it? Cutting spending, cutting pensions, raising taxes, trying to promote economic development. But they're having a tough time. They're having to go to non-traditional buyers like hedge funds and foreign countries to sell their bonds now. What should you do about it? If you own a Virginia or federal tax-free fund, check to see how much of it is in Puerto Rican bonds and ask your advisor whether it's appropriate for you. That's really all you can do at this point.
What's your view on these new MyRAs that
you know, I'm glad you asked that. That was in the State of the Union a couple of weeks ago, and I thought I would mention that. It's a new retirement account proposed by President Obama designed to encourage U.S. citizens to save more for their retirement and rely less on Social Security. Okay, sounds like a good idea. Stats continue to show that very small fractions of eligible people put money in an IRA or a 401k plan, and many small businesses don't have any kind of retirement option at all. You know, there are some good aspects and bad aspects to the MyRA. Here we go. On the plus side, they have much higher income limits than IRA, so more people can be a part of it. Investment minimums are as low as $25 up front, and the Treasury says you cannot lose money in your MyIRA. There's portability, too, which means you can move around from employer to employer. Downsides, the maximum account size can only be $15,000. That's 1-5. At which point you convert to a Roth IRA. $15,000 is more than zero, of course, but it's not likely to do much to put a dent in most families' retirement income needs. Another potential downfall, the only investment allowed is short-term U.S. government bonds, which averaged about 1.4% as of the last reading. Even the government says inflation is about 2%, so these bonds will not help you keep pace with cost of living increases. The MyRA still needs to be approved by Congress, so it may not go anywhere fast. And we can discuss the merits of the MyRA or its drawbacks, but it does underscore the seriousness of lack of preparedness that many Americans have for what will simply be the longest vacation of their life, their retirement.
Janet Yellen took over the first of the month as chair of the Federal Reserve Board, and she has a full plate as she settles into the job.
Yeah, how about this for your first week on the job? The January jobs report was a real stinker. 113,000 jobs created when 185,000 or more were expected. Also, the December report, which they expected to be increased significantly, it was only bumped up 1,000 jobs. Bad, right? Well, in the same report, the unemployment rate went down to 6.6. Ah, you say, that's only because people left the workforce, which has been occurring steadily over the last several years. Not true. The labor force rate actually went up. This is a conundrum worthy of a car talk puzzler, Wayne. How do you make sense of all these conflicting trends? On top of that, the unemployment rate's close to 6.5%, at which the Fed said it would start raising rates. No one really believes that the Federal Reserve is ready to begin raising rates at this point. One reason is the stock market did so well at the end of the week was there was suspicion that this weak jobs report would be enough to make the Federal Reserve reconsider its bond buying stimulus and basically ramp the printing presses back up. That's also highly unlikely given some comments from our own Richmond president, Jeff Lacker. Bottom line, slow growth continues. And Janet Yellen may not have much of a honeymoon period in her new position as she deals with a uncertain jobs report.
Okay. Thanks, Brian. Mm-hmm. Brian Ford's report is not a research recommendation for any particular company and does not provide legal or tax advice.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Iran is marking the anniversary